saving money when you start your next project today at Menards. Check out our great selection of garage and utility lighting options. In stock, ready to take home today. We carry everything to help you illuminate whatever project you're working on. Shop garage and utility lighting products in store at your nearest Menards. You can also view all of our entire selection of lighting options today on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello. From the studio in Nitro, West Virginia, this is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt. This was the sixth game for the Mountaineers. They played Bellarmine in the Coliseum. And I don't want to start by talking about that game. Another game happened today in Division I. Louisville hosted New Mexico State. Let's call Louisville's situation challenging. They had probably the worst Louisville season I can remember in my lifetime last year. I guess it's technically going a little bit better this year. They have the same record as WVU, 3-3. They won today. They beat New Mexico State in overtime, 90-84. And I'm telling you this because New Mexico State played 10 guys. So they have but they have 10. West Virginia technically has 9 guys. They're playing 8, I guess. Right? Bembry was back. Apparently he's been injured the last few games. He was back and played some spot minutes. Sumnick didn't play a ton. West Virginia played 8 tonight. New Mexico State played 10, and I'm going through the box score here. R. Carpenter, 5 fouls. K. Izigu, 5 fouls. J. Harris, 5 fouls. C. Cook, 5 fouls. The guys coming off the bench, C. Jackson, 5 fouls. J. Jackson Posey, 5 fouls. Are you keeping track? Six New Mexico State players fouled out. They had 10 available and dressed. So you know what that means. And it was only for 21.9 seconds, but for the last nearly 22 seconds of the game, New Mexico State played with 4 guys. And so if you had a bet that West Virginia was going to be the first team in Division I to finish a game with 4 players on the court, Hoosier style, you lost that bet. New Mexico State wins that bet. And they had to go to overtime to do it. But that is, number one, congrats to WVU for not being the first to do that this season. Does that happen once a season? I feel like that's a rare bird. West Virginia, and they won by 4 today, and it was a challenging game. And West Virginia against anybody in Division I basketball with these guys available are having a hard time getting to 60. They got the 62 barely against a Bellarmine defense. I mean, just look. If you watch the game, you see Jesse Edwards. You see the distinct advantage that he has against anybody guarding him. You see at the beginning, the tip-off, you just see giants against not giants. And so that doesn't mean everything, but it's not going to get much easier this season, for the rest of the season, than playing offense against Bellarmine, with love and respect to Bellarmine. And West Virginia barely got the 62. But what they didn't do, what they don't do, of all the changes between Bob Huggins and Josh Shiler as a coach of, and there are many, in demeanor, in coaching style, how they play offense and defense. Defensively, the night and day difference, almost by necessity, of how often West Virginia fouls. And you can't, right? You can't play. And maybe if it was up to Eilert, because he said going into this season, he wanted to keep Bob Huggins' defensive philosophies, but he was going to do some new stuff on defense. But when you have eight guys, you do switch it up. West Virginia, we saw no zone tonight. Only eight fouls in 40 minutes. Eight fouls against Bellarmine. And just six games in, they just don't. You rarely see the other team getting the bonus. This team doesn't foul. I don't know how they're doing it. And they're doing a decent job, an overall decent job, given the circumstances of playing defense. The offense is really bad. The offense is really bad six games in. But the defense is okay. And on top of that, the New Mexico State scenario that played out today hasn't even been on the radar. Truthfully, for eight guys, you could totally see a game where West Virginia, maybe they're not playing four guys, but Ollie's in, and maybe like Offrey is bringing the ball down the court as the point guard. And they didn't, and I don't think that's in the cards, and it's because West Virginia doesn't foul. So that's wild. The offensive woes continued. This game, four starters scored. Nevaeh with a bounce-back game offensively. And Josiah Harris still off the board. And so during the game in the Smoking Musket Discord game thread, I put it out there like, okay, maybe Josh Eilert has to bench Josiah Harris. Just a reaction. You know, if you have two games in a row where a guy doesn't score a point and he's not Gabe Osaboyan, then you have to consider maybe him not playing as much. You don't have a ton of options. Established, we know this. For a team that's struggling with offense, how can you justify having a guy, one of your eight, who start the game and plays a lot of minutes, score 0 points? And again, not be the conference defensive player of the year. And then you look at the numbers, and Josh Eilert has told you that he's on the analytics game, and I go to the website cbbanalytics.com. Thank you for their information. And you look at lineups that are out there, all of the five-man lineups, which is not a ton. There's not a ton of variation if you're playing eight guys. But guess who is the best lineup? It's a lineup that includes Josiah Harris. And the second best lineup is a lineup that includes Josiah Harris. And the next three best lineups as far as net rating, some of them still include Josiah Harris. One of them does. But the analytics say it doesn't matter if he scores or not. When he's in the lineup, that's good for the team. And so the best lineup thus far is the current starting lineup of Kobe, Offrey, Josiah, Quinn, and Jesse Edwards. And that doesn't include the numbers from the Bellarmine game this evening, but I'd be shocked if that's still not the case after this game. But that coaching staff is looking at the same numbers that I'm looking at. And what we're looking at offensively is unprecedented for this program. We're six games in, and at minimum, Kirk Crease is going to come back and help with offense, all right? But right now, in Ken Pomeroy's computer, another analytics tool, West Virginia is 182nd in the country in offensive rating. 182. And that's technically middle of the pack of Division One. It's really bad for a Power Six team. And you just go down the stats, they're 330th in effective field goal percentage. They're 334th in shots inside the three-point line. They're shooting under 30% from three. That's good for 275th in the country. That turnover rate that started off really good in the first couple of games, we're going downhill. They're 225th in turnover percentage. They're 192 in free throw percentage. Just KenPom, when you see red, it's a bad thing. And offensively, it's really bad. And so when I'm saying unprecedented, think of the worst WVU teams in the last 20 years. I mean, you got to go back. You got to go. It's just unprecedented. Right now, they're at 182. No team since Ken Pomeroy's been keeping track of this stuff going back to 1997 has, and those, and there's some bad teams in there, have been as low as 182. So it's a six-game sample size. The closest you're going to get is not even it's not even in. You can't put this on Gale Catlett. I guess he's technically that 2002 team that ushered in his retirement and the first year of John Beilein with a coach in between we don't have to get into. That team ended the year 154th in offensive efficiency. And then outside of that, the next worst team was the 2013 Bob Huggins team that went 133rd. That's where they ended at. And so we're in unprecedented waters. Can West Virginia, even if this is a bad record for the year, can they get to a watermark of 133rd? I think they can with Kerr back. I think he is good at shooting the three. He is good at running offense. He's a true point guard. And that's going to get better. Defense may struggle a little bit. But it's actually amazing that West Virginia has a 500 record as bad as they're doing offensively. And how many offers you've gotten, even in just the last two games. And the schedule is going to... So the good news is the schedule, the next three games are at home. The next two are against St. John's and they're against Pitt. So against two Power Six teams, Josh Eilert has confidence in his guys. He's got confidence in Josiah Harris that he's going to make shots and the floodgates are going to open. That's not exactly what he said, but something along those lines. I hope so because, spoiler alert, and we'll talk about St. John's at the end, they have more than eight guys, and they're going to run similar to SMU, and we saw how that game went. And then Pitt is not doing bad this year. West Virginia's had their number for a long time. Ugh. You just can't, against good competition, be this stymied on offense.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
All right. If you've listened to this podcast or you're a longtime listener, you know how there's longtime listeners of things. If you're one of those, early days of Unreasonable Doubt, I wanted to interact and answer questions on the podcast. Sometimes that manifested in me reading scam emails, because those are the only emails that were coming in about WVU basketball. But now we got this fancy Discord under the Smoking Musket umbrella, and there's a spot where you can ask questions. And some of you have asked questions, so thank you to everybody who's done that. I'll start with the first question. This is from New Name Who Dis. I know nothing besides the final score. How should I feel? You should feel good that West Virginia won. It's just getting wins. It doesn't matter if it's 1 point against Bellarmine. Gone for this season is the era of like, hey, is the equivalent of Spencer Mackey going to get into the game at the end? It ain't that. It ain't that this season. So if you look at the final score and see that West Virginia has scored more points than the other team, then you should feel encouraged. Because you know outside of the numbers why we're here. But I would recommend, you know, joining this exclusive club and watching the games. These are on ESPN Plus, so you can go back the day after and they just live there on the internet. You could just watch the game. And sneaky, a good thing is to watch a game when you know the result. It's kind of sneaky good. I mean, the counter argument is the main reason you watch sports is because you don't know how it's going to play out. I would say you save yourself a lot of heartache, especially in a season like this, where once you know the result, you don't have anxiety if it's close and it goes the wrong way. Just a little, that's between you and me. Nobody else heard that. All right, so here's the submitted questions. This is from Knight 676. Okay, how disappointed are you that we look so lost and feel like a D2 team barely scrapping by instead of the juggernaut we were promised? Knight 676, we're on the same page as far as what transpired in the offseason. I don't remember when that promise was made. You could come back to me and say a promise is a promise. But there has been a change of coach and people leaving in a coaching change transfer portal. And, you know, a guy collapsed in the preseason game and a suspension and a waiver denial, multiple waiver denials. Like all that happened. I don't know when the promise was made. I can't actually confirm there was a promise of a juggernaut, but I would say not disappointed. I am not disappointed given what has transpired. With love and respect. And then Knight 676, also, when we get Kerr and a Cook back, how much better will this team actually be? They're just going to be, for example, let's use the SMU game as an example. This is hypothetical. Does West Virginia beat SMU with Kerr and a Cook? I can't say that they would have. However, what you can't say if those two guys are playing is they ran out of gas. Or you wouldn't just flat out say West Virginia lost because they have eight guys and they completely flatlined and there was still more game to play. So it takes that out of the equation. And so maybe it's a close game. Maybe West Virginia has a chance of winning. I don't want to speculate on a Cook because that's a health thing. And he's got to worry about life before basketball. And he's going to make that decision, I guess, if he's positively improving health-wise and he gets the okay. So that's – but there's no timetable on that, I don't think, because how can you have a timetable given what happened in the exhibition game with him? So – but when Kerr comes back, just – it is going to get better offensively where established they're struggling a ton. And I'm willing to give up a little bit defensively to have more fluidity. I mean, we saw the exhibition game and we saw how much better it flowed with Kerr in there running the point. Kobe Johnson and the reps he's getting and how slow Seth Wilson has come out of the gates, you could see Kobe sliding over to the two, and we've established analytics say keep Josiah out there. But like that's gonna be better. How much better? I think it'll be noticeably better. And then regardless, adding a Division I player, having nine guys available instead of eight, especially at the guard position, is gonna be huge for this team. And then same with the Cook. If he comes back, how much that gives you flexibility for Jesse Edwards to maybe he still plays more minutes than what he was anticipating, but you can visualize having a Cook at the five. You can make that work. And Quinn and a Cook out there, or like you can just, there's, it just gives you more options. And it gives, so where, you know, it eliminates where they're calling timeouts just to get rest. That's where we're at currently. And so adding one or two players at a base level, regardless of how good they are, is going to help ease that concern that you rarely have to think about, but you do when you're only playing eight guys. And I would argue, really just tonight, as an example, played six guys. And then Pat and Bembry got spot minutes. Next question from Jake Lance, WVU Knight. Would you give Eilert another year or go after a high-level coach? I think Eilert can be included in the search, but I think inherently if you say interim, then I don't know outside, given the circumstances, how do you know how good Josh Eilert is at coaching basketball? I would argue six games in, Eilert is good at managing the situation. Like he's saying all the right things. It's definitely his demeanor and his how he's approaching this from a coaching standpoint off the court is all you could want from a guy holding the job given the circumstances from the offseason. But to equate that into a signing a pick a however long the contract's going to be, your scenario, Jake, implies that, hey, we'll just run this back for one more year, which would feel like it, even if the interim label's not there, that would feel interim if he gets one more year. And would Josh Eilert want to do that? And maybe he would. But I think this goes to outside search when everybody's searching, see who's available. Eilert should absolutely get like the first interview, and you've had that's the perk of being the interim coach is you can see behind the scenes and you know what kind of hand he was dealt, and you can factor that in. But just you can't just not do the search too. So they're going to go after a high-level coach, and I wouldn't blame Ren Baker for doing that. But Josh Eilert, six games in, and for this entire season, regardless of what the results are, he deserves the first interview. And maybe he gets beat out for a long-term choice. And then Cincy Ear with the last question. Do you feel confident that Battle would stay if he's not eligible until 24-25? Short answer, don't feel confident. Why would I feel confident? And Raekwon Battle is a different person than Jose Perez, and with two different circumstances. And Jose Perez was, I guess, I don't know the right language. He was dismissed from the team is how I'm going to phrase it. But also Jose Perez, before he got dismissed, he entered the transfer portal when the portal opened back up in June. So unfairly, I'm taking my Jose Perez experience and putting it at my confidence level of if Battle would stick around, even if he just waits until next year. So thank you for all the questions. I didn't have to make up names and questions, did not have to read scam emails. I always reserve the right to read a scam email as a legit question for the podcast, because they never are about basketball and they're always entertaining. Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Check out the Discord. Been talking about the Discord. Send your questions for the podcast there. Converse with other WVU fans during basketball games. During West Virginia's going to play a bowl game, so you can talk with people during the game, the bowl game. We'll find out that soon. Joel and Jordan on West by Pod, a WVU football podcast, they're going to be talking about the Baylor win. They're going to be talking about WVU's bowl prospects, other stuff as well. Check them out. Go to smokingmusket.com. Follow Smoking Musket on social media. Smoking Musket, do it. The next game for WVU, out of the shadows of streaming, back into the light again. The Big East, Big 12 battle. I don't know what it's called. West Virginia is hosting this year, Friday, December 1st, 7 p.m., ESPN2. West Virginia will host the St. John's Red Storm. Quinn Slezinski revenge game? I don't know about that. Here's the concerns for St. John's. They play more than eight guys established. They like to play fast. That's a problem. Their offensive rebounding percentage is 45.2%. That's good for second in the nation in offensive rebounding. Bellarmine had five more offensive rebounds than WVU this evening. So that's going to be a big problem. But this game's at home. It is a Quinn Slezinski revenge game. I'll go ahead and say that. And West Virginia has a few days off, so hopefully. But see, I thought with the SMU game, that decent break, West Virginia will have fuel in the tank. But if they play St. John's style, if they try to run with St. John's, that's going to be a problem. And Rick Pitino, regardless of how you feel about that guy, so much experience with coaching. Josh Eilert, six games of Division I head coaching experience. So all those are our concerns. The computers have it close. And by the computers, I'm just looking at Ken Pomeroy's model. West Virginia will, I assume, will be a betting underdog Friday. And so we'll see what happened. But the numbers are not favorable for WVU. Instead of worrying about if West Virginia can beat St. John's, can we get Josiah Harris in the points column? Let's just, if you're listening to this, let's just send, if you, I don't know if I believe in this or not. I don't believe in this, but let's, as an exercise, let's channel our energy to getting Josiah Harris to shoot the basketball and it goes into the basket to count for points. And it can be a free throw. It can be a dunk. It can be a three-pointer. Anything where the where the ball goes through the basket. And then when I look at his box score, it says more than zero. Let's just will that into existence. And that's what I'm looking for on Friday night, because the other numbers are not favorable for WVU. But can Josiah Harris score more than 0 points? That's what I'm going to pay attention to. And maybe the other stuff will take care of itself. But let's focus on Josiah scoring again. All right? That's my approach to Friday's game. And I don't think the Big 12 is going to do a battle with the Big East anymore. I think this is the last year. I don't know if that's true or not. I know they did away with the SEC challenge. So will the Big East battle go by the wayside? If this is the last battle, let West Virginia go out with a win. Why not? Besides all the things I just said that make it a tough task. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms, or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Overcast Podcast, Amazon Podcast, Spotify Podcast, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. WVU for the 2023-2024 season, they have 3 wins and they have 3 losses.
Save big money when you start your next project today at Menards. Convert your current recessed lighting with energy-saving LED downlights from Fight Electric. They're bright and install easily in just minutes. They also go from regular lighting to nightlight mode with just a simple flip of a switch. Save big on all Fight lighting products now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com. Save big.